It is our custom to pause a few moments before we resume our study. It gives you the opportunity for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? And now, Father, as we continue in this passage, it is our prayer that our concentration under the power of the Spirit would reveal to us the power that is found in the passage. And to these ends, we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are looking at 1 Timothy 6, and we've noted verses 9 and 10. In context, it reads this way as we move into verse 11. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Many griefs can be the reversionistic spiral. Verse 11, but keep avoiding these things, man of God, and instead keep pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And therefore, in this passage, we've got six concepts that have to do with what one would pursue. I want to back up to those slides that popped up that we needed for this session. What we're going to see in this particular verse is how to avoid the problems that we saw emerge in the passages we looked at in the first session. This is called the old sin nature test. Residents in the divine dynasphere, residents in the cosmic system. And it's pretty simple, and you know this. Volition as the guardian of the gate of the soul is the issue. Your free will can go either way, and you decide how it goes. So volition is free, and God made us that way so that we could orient and adjust to His ideas, plans, and principles, or not. Therefore, the onus is on us, not God. So He made sure that we had free will to follow Him. He's not mandating that we do this in the sense that you're all ordered to, and you must do it, and you must love it. That's not grace. You're given the grace opportunity to follow Him through your own free will decisions. And when you do that as a believer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you now have spirituality when you're free of unconfessed sin. That puts you in the status of the filling of the Holy Spirit or status quo spirituality. When the genetically formed old sin nature tempts you, you reject that temptation through rebound or the resistance. A volitional resistance of the temptation. When in the cosmic system, you've grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit. He continues to indwell you, but you're no longer spiritual, no longer in status quo spirituality. And therefore, you do not have His teaching and guidance ministries. Therefore, status quo carnality, volition is therefore the source of sin. Sin is not sin until you choose to observe it and execute it. Therefore, the genetically formed old sin nature has penetrated the soul, the flock line, and you are now out of fellowship. The divine dynasphere you're familiar with, and we'll see some of its points as we go through, but this is the circle in which we're to function. Inside this circle, the bubble, we're able to function under the power of the Spirit using the doctrine we know for Him to utilize. You have to be filled with the Spirit. There's basic Christian modus operandi. You have to be teachable. There's a spiritual momentum factor that occurs over time. There's the spiritual self-esteem that therefore is the offshoot of that. You're motivated in that process. Autonomy therefore means you're an independent entity. You do not need to seek help all the time from those who are more spiritually attuned than you are, which is okay. If you don't know, you go to someone you think might give you some guidance. But that spiritual autonomy is where you want to go, where you make your decisions from a position of strength. There's momentum testing to check this out to see if you're willing to rely on it under pressure. And then you have spiritual maturity. Now, let's go through this verse, 1 Timothy 6:11. But is a conjunction of contrast. what we have over here in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. The root of it. Money is not evil. The love of it can lead to all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Okay, what's the other side of the coin? Instruct those who are rich. Okay, who are those? And who is being instructed here? Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a pastor. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are pastoral epistles. These three are instructing two pastors in context, Titus and Timothy. All right. As he does that, he's giving instruction to these men who will communicate Bible doctrine to their congregation, made up of a multiplicity of individuals with different backgrounds, interests, and occupations. Same with any church. So this is a church we're talking about. And the instruct mandate here is, in this context, to Timothy. What is he to do in order to inform his congregation? In the process of learning what the pastor is supposed to do, in this case Timothy, we also learn what we are to take in from the pastor and then execute. So we're going to see the top side of all of these things here. Instruct me is the customary present active imperative of the verb parangelo. And parangelo means consistently command. In other words, use the imperative mood in all of these things. And when an imperative mood is communicated, it's the farthest from reality. Those of you who know grammar understand that. I had to be taught it. See, well, only when I started studying the Hebrew and the Greek did I get this idea. And that's why I was a rebel. Because when someone gives you an order, a command, do A, and you say, I ain't gonna, that doesn't do any good as far as the guy that said it's concerned. In other words, you tell a child, Fred, do this. Okay, you've given an order, you expect it to be followed. But you lose control at that point. Free will can make the decision to do it or not. I ain't gonna or okay. So in the imperative mood, Timothy is communicating some ideas to his congregation, but there's no guarantee they're going to do it. So instruct or constantly command those in your congregation who are rich. Okay. So we've isolated it down to folks with a lot of stuff. Plusius is the word for rich here that has to do with temporal blessings. We're not talking about eternal blessings here. We're talking about temporal blessings that we've learned in our contexts, two passages primarily, that can distract a believer from what he needs to be doing with regard to his spiritual life. So we're looking at distractions here. This happens to be using money or property or a combination of the two as a distraction. And Jesus has said those with a lot of stuff are easily distracted. And he gives us testimony on that. So he's trying to communicate to Timothy, Paul is, through the Holy Spirit, you may have a problem with some people in your congregation who are very prosperous and may be distracted. Okay, got that. Plusius is the word for temporal blessings in the present world. Now, the word world there, as we will note in our analysis, is not cosmos. It is ion, and therefore ion has to do with a period of time. In context, obviously, it's the church age. So in the present world or in the present dispensation would be a best way to phrase that. Not to be conceited. Okay, we're going to have a lot of not to's here. Not to be conceited. Okay, Hupsalo phroneo is the word here for being conceited, that's self-centered. Or to fix their hope, elpizo, their confidence, on the uncertainty. The word uncertainty is adelates. Adelates is variability. Therefore, the uncertainty or the variability of riches, that is Plutus is the word there for material goods. If you have investments, many of you may have that. You have invested in stocks, bonds, or various monetary investments. Maybe even land, property, that kind of thing. Okay, That has to do with material goods in the devil's world. Okay, those investments may blossom and produce a lot of capital and interest, various forms of income and dividends. So that's how you grow an inventory of your investments. Okay, that produces material goods. It could be property, it could be stocks, etc. So it says here, your confidence is placed in the uncertainty of these riches. Why is it uncertain? Because we're not prophets. We don't know how the economy is going to go. People have been threatening a major downturn in the economy for years now because of the wild decisions that are being made by those who control the economy. But by and large, we all are, you know, being able to dress and shower and come over here and sit down and listen. I mean, we're not destitute yet. So you've accumulated these things over time. That's what you hope to use to maybe invest in other things, have as a retirement. These kinds of ideas would be associated with this accumulation of what's called here material goods, but they have variabilities attached to them. This is the devil's world, and there are economic downturns in every society from time to time. And therefore, you conceded, and therefore, to fix your hope on the uncertainty or the variability of these riches or material goods. Now we have a but. That's a conjunction of contrast. It's Allah. And therefore, what we're going to see is going to be the opposite of what we've just noted. Okay, but on God, theos. Okay. What you're saying to me, Pastor, is this. I've got stocks and bonds and dividends and interest and property and rent and all these things I've accumulated to help me into my retirement years or blah, 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 whatever my motivation happens to be. But on God, what on God? Don't be conceited. Put your hope on the certainty of God. Now, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. What is certain about your relationship with God? You are in the divine decree. In the divine decree, you have election. You first of all had selection. You were selected at physical birth. You were elected at your spiritual birth. And because of these things, you are among the elect, and therefore you're among the privileged who are members of the royal family in the church age with a grace pipeline that has at its terminus the righteousness that God has imputed to you. And to that righteousness, great blessings are going to be imputed down that pipeline. And the more you are associated with the thinking of God, in other words, doctrine, the more blessings will come down the pipeline. This is not working for it. It's simply God says, use your free will, your volition, to respond to what's taught from the Scriptures. Obey the commands, follow the precepts, utilize the guidance, and there will be blessings. In other words, you are going to be prospered either mentally, physically, economically, many ways. This is not easy money. What it is copacetic spiritual life. That's the major blessing that all of us seek. And so if you're copacetic, if you're okay with what's happening, then you've made it to that level. Don't let all the circumstances that potentially are out there dissuade you from your mission to keep moving forward. You have got to understand you are in the system, and it's God's system. He is going to take care of you. Okay, therefore, the confidence is on God, not stuff. Now, that's theos, that's God the Father, who richly, plousios, abundantly supplies us with all things. All things is simply the word pas. It's in the plural, panta, to enjoy. Hey. 1 Timothy 6:17. Apparently, this went way over your heads. Way. We'll do it again. Instruct. That's my job. There's Timothy's to his. Instruct whom? This is the customary present active imperative of the verb parangelo, constantly command. Not necessarily going to be obeyed, but nevertheless you put it out there, Tim. Those who are rich, plousios, they have temporal blessings, in this present world, that's the church age, not to be conceited. Don't get your whole focus on temporal things. They may go away. My dad told me this. He lived through the Depression. Of course, so did my mother. And he lived through the Depression. And all of a sudden, people had a lot of stuff. Suddenly, they didn't have nothing. And he said he heard stories, didn't see it. I don't think there was a building in Troy, Alabama you could jump off of and hurt yourself. Weren't tall enough. But there were people in these big cities who would jump off tall buildings because they'd lost everything. Well, what's their problem? Their problem was they were putting their emphasis on the rich of this present world, which is what? Variable. Variable. This is variable. And you got to get that across to folks with stuff because they're in your congregation and they need to know this. Why am I telling you this? Because we've got to look at the rich young ruler and find out how he's thinking and why did he go the way he went. He turned around and walked away from the Messiah. Why? His eyes were on his stuff rather than the eternal future, which is guaranteed. His stuff is not. We see that here. That's why I'm going here. Those who are rich, temporal blessings in this present world, the church age, not to be conceited. That's the hupsalofreneo. Or to fix their hope, elpizo, their confidence on the uncertainty, adelates, that's the variability aspect, of riches, plutus, material goods. The certainty is placed on something that's uncertain. Don't do that. Tell them that, Tim. But take all of these concepts. Take the word the world, the church age, you're in it. Do not be conceited. Fix your confidence on the certainty, something that's not variable, the certainty of what? The but factor. See the but? Get rid of the riches where you put your confidence on things that are variable, but, conjunction of contrast, on God. See that? That theos, who richly, plousios, abundantly supplies us with all things, that's panta, things, to enjoy. What's that? Grace pipeline. Is that secure? Yes, it is. Do you have things coming down the grace pipeline even when you're out of fellowship or in reversionism? Yes, you do. Food, clothing, shelter, stuff keeps you alive. There's a chance you'll recover. Yes. Guaranteed. Certain things are guaranteed. You will be kept alive in this life until God is through with you. So you have to orient and adjust to where you are on an individual level on a daily basis. Who am I? What am I? What's my circumstance? Am I good with this? Am I copacetic or not? Points. Number 22 is this. The customary presence of parangelo is a command to Timothy to command those in his congregation to apply what he is teaching. Now, this is all it is here. And when we see imperative moods in Scripture, and I tell you something is an imperative mood, I'm to communicate that to you, and you have to look at this concept and look at it as an imperative mood that the Scripture is telling you to do or refrain from doing. And it's your job volitionally to respond to that, either positively or negatively. It's not my job. I'm only my volition. I'm not your volition. I'm just a communicator. 23, Timothy was not the one commanding his parishioners to apply the doctrine taught. Timothy was not the one commanding his parishioners to apply the doctrine taught. Paul is commanding Timothy to start commanding them to do so. And where's Paul getting this? From the Holy Spirit. So you need to get away from looking at me, for example, as the one doing the commanding. It ain't me. And in this case, for example, it's not Timothy, nor is it Paul. The Word of God is alive and powerful. You're being told on an imperative mood by God to do A or not do B. I guess on us off everybody now, doesn't it? It ain't me. It all depends on you. Okay, 24. Oh, by the way, I do want to do this. Parangelo. I like to do the footnotes then to expand on some ideas, okay? Instruct is the customary present active imperative, the verb parangelo, therefore constantly command. I want you to note this footnote on that idea, the imperative mood concept. In 1 Timothy, parangelo is one of the special tasks of the recipient of the letter. Okay, that recipient is whom? It's Timothy. Timothy is to command those who are rich in the world, noted in chapter 6, 17. In so doing, however, he must himself be under the apostle's order, quote, to keep the commandment in such a way that he is without spot or blame, quote, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, noted in verse 13. This order of the apostle does not rest on his own authority. It is given in the sight of God, who calls all things to life, and also in that of Christ Jesus, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. It is thus distinguished radically from all religions or ethical injunctions which do not have their roots in the soil of the saving events of the New Testament. So what that does is place us in the royal family. This is different from anybody else that takes this idea. No one else but the royal family can take this idea and execute it. No one can read this passage. That's why when unbelievers take the Bible as literature, they're not getting anything out of it but literature. And they will sit around the class and the prof will say, "Oh, Fred, what do you think about 1 Timothy 6:17?" And he will spew forth whatever he thinks. He's got no inventory of ideas other than human viewpoint. And he's not going to acquire from this any advantage whatsoever. Not in the way that you do, because he has no advantages. He can say, "I'm going to do this." He has no advantages. He can't do this. You can. You have the pipeline. You're a royal family. You're among the elect. You can do this. That's what's the difference here. Oh, say, to repeat 24, in the process of doing so, Timothy is to instruct in the imperative mood. That is the farthest removed from reality. If individuals are falling apart, then he is to advise from the pulpit what they should be doing. 25. If such violations then were to occur, the problem would not be directed toward Timothy, but on the individual members of the congregation who were ignoring his teachings. Who's teaching here? Tim. He is the communicator. The teacher is the Holy Spirit. And therefore, who's going to hear this? Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means the human spirit is up and functional. Pneumatikos. And so the information is getting through for the person who's current on rebound. And that moves the new information down to the soul, where you have nous. We're not discussing salvation here, so common grace is not necessarily the idea, but you do make a volitional decision as to whether you believe it or not. Now, I believe that. And you have academic understanding, and you pull the volitional trigger over here, and the Holy Spirit transfers it to cardia, and that's long-term memory. So you've got the idea. Okay, in order, you've got the idea. You have many ideas that come in from Bible study. But then you move out into the morass of cosmos diabolicus, and incidences, circumstances, exigencies occur. And it's time to deal with them. And you've got the inventory. But you have to, you're on your own. You've got the idea that you are confronting a circumstance and you must deal with that. Are you going to pull the volitional trigger for doctrine or for human viewpoint? And that's the bottom line in my favorite visual application. So I want you to see that. Get rid of all this stuff here. Briefly put, the commands from the pulpit should have been the 10 problem-solving devices. You know, briefly put. In this context, those who need to be spiritually shaped up are said to be those who are rich. Why is that? We've seen it with the rich young ruler. What did Jesus say about that guy? It's hard for those guys to get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's the context there? It's the Old Testament. It's people who are oriented to the Mosaic law. They're Jews. They hope that they're keeping the mandates. They don't realize that all of the things involved in the law point to Messiah. That's what they have to place their faith in. And if they can't get that in their minds, then they're going to place their faith in the things that are secure for them. This provides me security in this time and in this life and in this dispensation. So I'm going to go with that. I know about this. But it's temporal. Can go away. What is it that's solid? What is it that's everlasting? What is it that's eternal? What is it you can actually count on? 27. We have the dative plural of the noun plousios, those who are rich. And what are these rich people being commanded to do? Well, the New American Standard Translation begins with the phrase, in this present world. This is not a good translation. Cosmos is not the word found here, but rather the noun ion, and it's better translated age or better this dispensation. So that would be the church age. That's talking royal family. That's talking you. That's talking individuals that have believed in Christ and have all of these assets available to them. All of the things related to the grace pipeline. That's talking about all of this. What do you possess that makes you unique? You're among the elect. You're royal family of God. You have all of these things that have been given to you at the moment of salvation. Through Bible study, you learn what they are and how they give you advantage. What then is the big deal in being in a post-Christian moment of your life? The big deal is inculcate the thinking of God, acquire this information, and utilize it to maximize all of the assets. So, this dispensation, 29. This is a locative of time, and it refers to wealthy believers in the church age that have become distracted by their prosperity. Okay, now, I read these articles. They're in the newspaper. You can see them on the internet. The books about this, where people are prophesying a big economic downturn or crash. You know, and there's information given. What are you going to do about this? And some people say, well, buy land. Okay, that's one idea. Get gold and silver and precious stones. Have that. All right. Save your money. Get rid of your money. There's not going to be any money. There's going to be some money, but not good money. On and on it goes. And you're battling all of this if you want to make up your mind what to do. Okay? But you're not a prophet, and neither are they. See, you say, well, I know some things you don't know. I know you do. You've read all the stuff I've read. And when I get through with it, I say, they don't know. They don't know. And so you say, well, how do you know they don't know? Because they don't know what's going to happen. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ controls history. Have you bought into that? There are things out yonder in the future that, I know you're frustrated with me saying this, but I am telling you this, and I believe it to the very core of my soul, that if you people here consistently take in the Word of God in your soul and you apply it to your daily lives, you are part of the advancing pivot in the client nation called America, and Jesus Christ controls history on your behalf. The more you are in tune, inculcate, and apply the Word of God, the stronger the pivot is in this client nation. And Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. Do you not know this? And if that is true, there are many things he's done in the past to put a stop to bad ideas that are brought into action by bad people. Do you remember what happened to Hezekiah? I mean, Sennacherib was going to take down the Lord's city. We're going to take it down. And they were at Lachish, and they were getting ready to go take Jerusalem. Hezekiah was in reversionism. He was about to die. And he said, "Oh God, how about 15 more years? Please, sir." And he didn't die. And he came out of reversionism. One guy, of course he was the leader, he got 15 more years, had 15 years to go. What happened at Lachish? Big army. They were going to take down Jerusalem. They had everything in place to take it down. And then the rats arrived. And the big plague hits the entire bunch and they fall over dead. Now that's just an example. I don't think, what I know, maybe there's going to be a big rat infestation and everybody dies from that. I don't know. But I do know that Jesus Christ got a plan. And you're in it. So where are you in the current zeitgeist and circumstance? Are you in the bubble? Do you believe any of this? Are you confident that you are a warrior for Christ and that you have the artillery of thought to bring this thing to a positive resolution? Can Jesus do it? The CNC of the royal family. Feeling much better now, but that's the whole story here. Where did I leave off, Henry? Oh, by the way, when I ask where I am, and I ask Henry where I am, people think I'm losing my mind. I've heard this. Oh, has he really got Alzheimer's? How long will it be before he goes away? Could it be today, maybe? Where am I, Henry? Okay, I like 30. Let's do 30. Since believers in the church age are members of the royal family of God, then blessings through the grace pipeline are greater than any other dispensation. The blessings are greater. Greater blessings than the garden now. 31. This verse reveals that those making the spiritual advance begin to receive the overplus of blessings, and over time, very important, over time, some will turn their heads away from doctrine and focus on their stuff rather than the grace that provided it. Pipeline. Stuff. You take the stuff out of the pipeline and you stick it over here. And I've got it in stocks and bonds and gold and silver and precious stones. It's my stuff. Where does stuff come from? Pipeline. Over here, I don't know about no pipeline, but I know about this. I'm keeping this. Heresy. All right. This verse reveals that those making the spiritual advance begin to receive overplus of blessings, and over time, some will turn their heads away from doctrine. Pipeline, okay, got that, and focus on their stuff rather than the grace that provided it. And so what is that? That's disorientation to grace. Can Jesus Christ protect your stuff? Will he? You don't know. And that was the case with the rich young ruler. He didn't know. Look, you're telling me this about this, all this future thing, but you know, I'm in the present reality, Jesus. I'm a reality guy, and I know I've got stuff. So I'm going to just leave you to your wild ideas, and I'm going to go back to the temporal that can be taken away in a heartbeat rather than the eternal that is guaranteed. That's the story here. It's not about the money. It's about the attitude. 32, the distractions that precipitate this trip into reversionism are described next, beginning with hupse lo phroneo. That's la phroneo, short O. Hupse la phroneo. It is a compound made up of hupselus, used figuratively for pride, and phroneo, which means to think. To think arrogantly. Arrogant thinking. Together they form the compound to think in a prideful way, which includes a variety of mental attitude sins such as conceit, arrogance, high-mindedness, or hubris, which is arrogance on steroids. People get hubris over their stuff. And that's misplaced hubris, if there is such a place as being good, I don't know. But it is variable. Stock market's 17.5 now. Well, here it was just a month ago. It was like 16, low 16s. You're not a prophet. What if you had sold at the peak and got back in at the 16? I guess some people did that. But it's now back up to the 17. So what? Why go through the hassle? Just leave it alone. You don't know. The day before, you didn't know. And then it goes back up and you didn't know. You say, yeah, I didn't know. Well, of course you don't know. That's the whole point here. You don't know. What is it you do know? Pipeline, royal family, election, on and on we could go. You got it all, and it's guaranteed. And you are to orient and adjust to whatever the Lord lets you have. You orient and adjust to that. Arrogant people are prone to make poor decisions based on a cosmic inventory of ideas. On this occasion, they are led to apply human viewpoint. And they're said to fix their hope. The word hope is the perfect active infinitive of elpizo, and we translate that confidence. Place their hope. Hope is nebulous in our vocabulary in English, but elpizo is not. Absolute confidence is what this means. And they are not to function from a soul dominated by arrogance. Hupse la phroneo. Or to place their confidence, elpizo, in the variability of riches. Now, it's okay to be wise about what you're doing. Okay? That's not the story here. The story is you can be wise about your assets. You know, do your due diligence. But the context of this is the rich young ruler who let that dominate his thinking. He rejected eternal guarantee of salvation against the variable attributes of human investments. See that? That's all he's talking about here. And therefore, if that's the case, it's hard for guys to think that way to get in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. And so the perfect tense of elpizo is consummative, which indicates a completed action, whereas the perfect tense usually emphasizes existing results. And here it explains the process by which the action was completed. They placed their confidence. Now, there's a long way to go on this, and we'll do a couple more points to get down to God and then stop. But we'll resume this, if I can see, on Wednesday evening. Okay? So 36. A believer with wealth cannot in arrogance place his confidence on the variability of riches, while at the same time keep his eyes focused on the source, which is Jesus Christ. Can't keep your eyes on both. His arrogance and preoccupation with material things is contrasted with the source, indicated by the conjunction of contrast, Allah, translated but. We're going to contrast what we've just read with something that follows. And what follows is the proper noun for God, which is theos. And what that contrast includes is what we'll take up potentially. We don't know the future on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of studying these things. It reveals to us the assets we have guaranteed to us in your pipeline. We're in your family. We have an eternal future. You are taking care of us. We are needed in this nation's pivot. May all of these facts encourage us to pursue truth, to stay with the program, to make the advance. And to these ends, we lift our prayer of gratitude. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Charis human kai arene, pleithun thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.